And we're back here on Essential Music here on 101.9 WDET. I'm Ann DeLisi. So Jeff Buckley would have turned 50 years old this past week. And it was fortuitous for me that Mike Rimza, who was going through old tapes of WDET interviews and performances, found the interview that I did with him back in 1994. Quite honestly, I've been walking around with a cassette of that session since that day. It is a 30-minute session, and the way it came to be was, and this was in October of 1994, so Jeff Buckley had put out the album Grace, and his record company originally, earlier in the year, said to me, you know, Jeff Buckley, we'd like you to interview him, and he'll come and be a guest DJ, and I said, okay. So he came in, he was very intense, he was very quiet, I think he stayed for a half hour, 45 minutes, played all kinds of crazy things. And by the way, if you want to see Jeff Buckley's record collection, you can find it online now. There's a beautiful site that shows you everything that was in his record collection. And so a couple months goes by, and he did a number of performances in the Detroit area. He played at Brazil Coffee in Royal Oak. I don't know if anybody remembers that place. He did a show at St. Andrew's Hall. He did a show at the Gem. He did a show at the Arc in Ann Arbor. And this was that Arc show was the reason why he was in the studio for the performance we're about to hear. So when the record company called back, they said, oh, you know, well, Jeff Buckley will come in and play, he'll be your guest DJ. And I said, you know, we already did that. And they're like, yeah, but, you know, he'll come in and do it again. And I said, and I honestly to this day don't know where I got the chutzpah to talk to his record company the way I did. I could imagine myself doing it now, but not 22 years ago. And I said, look, we already did that. If he wants to come, he's going to have to play. And then the call ended, and I assumed I would never hear from them again. A couple days later, they called back, they said he'll do it. I was like, wow, okay. And back then, I should mention, when I was on the air, it was every day, and it was during the day, and so I would do all of these performances live. There was no editing, there was no safety net at all, and that was before I knew better, actually. So everything was live. And so I would do the show, and the studios are set up so there's windows everywhere, so I can see what's going on in all the studios from where I was broadcasting from. So Jason Schusterbauer, who worked closely with me at that time, who I adored, was taking care of getting the band settled, and he walked in. I said, are they here? And he said, they're here, and there's a giant tour bus outside. And so I said, well, let me know how things are going. And then Mike Conrad was the audio engineer that day, and he was so fabulous, and I adore him today, to this day. So I see the band starting to get in there and start to get set up, and Jason comes back in, and I was like, hey, how's it going? Because I can see what's happening. I can't hear anything. And he said, there's a little bit of an attitude there, which is probably what I deserve, given that I used such an attitude to get them there in the first place. I said, okay, so I was a little nervous about it. So I kept doing my show, and I'm looking in there, and at one point, I'm looking at Jeff Buckley, and he looks up. And he looks directly at me, and I'm thinking either he's mad because he's here because of me, or he's happy to be here. And I look at him for a couple more seconds, and he breaks into this giant smile, and he leaves the studio, and he runs into the studio where I was. And he gave me a big hug, and he said, it's great to see you again. I didn't even think he would have remembered. He said, it's great to see you again. I'm happy to be here. And then he went back in, and he was so gracious. So apparently, I just found out about this part of this conversation yesterday because I've forgotten a lot from that day because I'm very distracted when I'm in the studio, so I've forgotten a lot. And Mike Conrad, who engineered the session, came in and said to me, because you have to remember back then there was no internet, there was no social media, so he didn't know what Jeff Buckley looked like. And apparently when he said, hey, which one is he? I said, he's the beautiful one, which I don't recall saying that, but I could see myself saying that for sure. And so when I have to say, I very rarely listen back. I'm always looking forward. And I had this interview and I hadn't listened to it. And I thought, I've got to play it this week. I need to listen to it in case it has to be edited. And so I was a little nervous about that because I thought, what if I was really terrible and then I can't air this? And so I wasn't terrible. I probably sound a little younger. And I listened to the whole interview. And you have to remember, Jeff Buckley's career was in its infancy stages. And like I said, there was no information floating around about him. He was still an unknown artist. So I could do a better interview with him now, today. I know so much more about him than I could have then because there was such limited information. And there's a very eerie moment in this interview in which he says, I hope people don't get too attached to grace. And you'll hear that. And that gave me chills when I heard it, when I was listening to it. Jeff Buckley drowned in the Mississippi River the night before he was going to go in and record his next album. And he apparently, from what I've read in a number of places, was singing Whole Lotta Love by Led Zeppelin. He was a huge Zeppelin fan, loved Robert Plant. And he died at the age of 30, so he would have turned 50 this past week. There has been a lot of things that have come out since he passed that you can find, most notably Sketches for My Sweetheart the Drunk. Basically a line that, or a title that Brad Pitt had on his motorcycle. He was a huge fan and tried to make a movie about Jeff Buckley. So my thanks today to Mike Conrad and Jason Schusterbauer, who were there with me that day, for making everything go so smoothly. You'll hear me laughing off the top of this interview because Jeff Buckley was a pretty funny guy. So we were joking about something, and so you will hear that part of the interview. And then he did three songs that day, and he was brilliant. So here's that interview now, going back to October of 1994 here on 101.9 WDET.
This is WDET FM Detroit. That was Ben Harper, and we also heard from the Pretenders. Jeff Buckley is here. He's at the Ark in Ann Arbor tonight and was at Magic Bag on Saturday night, and I'm really happy that he came back to play live for you. So please welcome Jeff Buckley. Dream and always see your face. We're live in the WDET studios with Jeff Buckley, who's going to be in town at the Ark in Ann Arbor tomorrow night. And in our studios is Jeff Buckley on lead vocals and guitar, Mick Grundle, did I get that right, Mick?
That's
Mick
right.
Grundle on bass, Matt Johnson on drums, and Michael Tai on guitar. Thanks for coming back, Jeff.
Oh, thanks for having us.
It's good to see you again.
Mm-hmm.
Since last time we saw you, you've been... thanks. You've been a pretty...
Actually, last time I was here alone, and now...
You've got all these guys, and I'm glad that you brought all of them with you. This is pretty special to have them here, too.
Yeah, they're awesome.
They are awesome.
I love them.
My little pets.
Ow!
Ow!
I think my headphones are too high. I mean, like, when we're talking, you can take it down.
Okay. Can we talk? Is it safe?
It's safe.
Is it safe to go back to the conversation?
Right, you know what? I'll just stand right here. I'll put the microphone on.
Oh, that'll work. Okay.
Because I'm a technical genius, and I can do what I need to.
What's life been like in the last few months, especially since Grace came out? Is it what you expected?
Oh, yeah, sure. Work.
You're
work,
on tour all the time?
Uh-huh. You know, always in a strange place.
Is that okay with you? Is that a difficult lifestyle?
Yes, and yeah, I'm happy with it.
Yeah?
I mean, I have a tendency to be wantonly out,
mm-hmm.
on the wind, nowhere, no mm-hmm. one, invisible, bop, you know. In strange places all the time, and I guess I've awakened an incredible workaholic, which is, it's cool for a while, but if it's unbridled, you just end up being a boring old fart who, you know, sings songs about the road and, oh, the road is lonely and the river is deep and wide and oh, the road. It's important to balance it with, like, you know, real life back home in New York.
Is the acceptance of your music in this album a surprise to you, because there has been...
Well, there's been acceptance and there's been, you know, total derision.
Is it hard to listen to the critics who don't like what you're doing?
No. It's not hard to listen to either, really, because they're just other people. And critics are weird because as soon as they are in their job, they're not real people anymore. They're people who critique albums. And nobody I know buys albums to critique them. Or gets them into their fold to critique them. They just buy them to live with them, really. So, I mean, they're supposed to keep their job, so they critique it. And, you know, some people really hate it and some people really like it. But the people who come to the gig and stay.
Those are the people that you're doing this for.
I believe in.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing it for us. And we're doing it because this is what we are. And, yeah, we're doing it with them in mind as well. But mostly just because... I mean, if we're not into it, then, you know, nobody would be. But those are the people I believe in. And I believe in Mickey and Matt and Michael.
I saw you at the Gem a few months ago, and before the album even came out.
Yeah, we did a lot of touring before the album came out.
And I was absolutely struck, as many people were, by the intensity of the live performance with you guys. And it's not just you, it's the whole band, that the intensity level is high for the whole thing.
It's also the venue. The place is gorgeous.
But I wondered... Is that tough to do every night? Is every show that intense?
I guess it is tough. I guess it's tough to swim upstream if you're a salmon, but you'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a dopey analogy, isn't it?
No, that's a pretty good one.
We are like salmons, swimming upstream to spawn.
But it's a strain, and it's especially a strain if we run into technical difficulties that have nothing to do with us. You know, like, some people's systems are better than others. We're, like, working in lots of small places, and they don't have the money or the wherewithal or even the aptitude to, like, really set up a place for great sound.
Mm-hmm.
And which is hard, because in smaller places, it's better for us because we mix ourselves. Like, a place like this, actually, in, like, small cafes and stuff. It's the in-between stages, like the Gem Theater. Like, they have a real monitor system. Places that don't go all the way with, I don't know. If you get into a bigger place, we can't hear each other on stage all the time because it just disappears into the room, so we have to work off of these monitor speakers, these wedges. And if those aren't in order, then we're screwed.
How are you going to feel about the time, which I imagine is going to come eventually, that you guys are playing really big rooms? How do you feel about that? I mean, you've done a lot of...
We already have, though, actually.
How do you like it? I mean, the whole feel of it.
Oh, fine. It just depends on the room, because every room's different. It just doesn't, you know, just because it's big doesn't mean it's going to be fantabulous or garbagey. There's just some places that have amazing charisma. Like, we played, Toronto was the Trinity Center. This church, 650.
Is that where the Cowboy Junkies recorded
the
Trinity Session?
Okay, heck
same
yeah.
place.
I mean, now I know. I mean, anybody could step in there and just rip off an album. It was inspirational. And there's like 650 people there. And there's not, you know, it's a church, so you're supposed to see God from every seat.
Right.
And it's totally optimum for music.
That's great.
Of course, like, you know, I whipped out Paranoid by Black Sabbath as soon as I got in there.
Well, that lent a whole new feel to the place.
I think they belong in a church, don't you? But, yeah, big places don't, it's just because it's big. Although a huge hall, like, I don't know, huge halls, it just, the work gets lost. And
that's
and
what
I could
I'm curious
never, I could
about.
Never, I could never fill a place like that, ever. Not this
stick
year.
Around
and
for
I don't,
a while.
And I don't want to, actually.
That's interesting.
I'd rather do multiple dates in a
smaller place.
A smaller place.
I could see that.
You know. Although, I mean, it's cool. Like, we do all kinds of things. We open up for Soundgarden and Tad in Milwaukee in this massive auditorium. 4,000 people. 4,000 out of 20,000 people were there at the beginning of the show. And we've never seen 4,000 of anything. Or, like, playing at Reading Festival, which is like 2,000 people in a huge circus tent. That was great. It was intoxicating. And it worked. It translated. It was good. It just depends on the people and the place.
Well, supposedly there's about 10,000 people listening now, so this is a pretty big audience.
We totally bombed at the Magic Bag. I mean, and that's not such a big place. It just depends on the place.
DET is a big place. Can you do another tune for us?
No.
Please? Pretty please?
2, 3, 6.
Oh, that was so real.
We're live in the WDET studios with Jeff Buckley. He's at the ARC tonight in Ann Arbor at 8 o'clock. Tickets through Ticketmaster, or you can call those folks at 313-761-1451 for more information. I'm Ann DeLisi. This is WDET in Detroit, and it's great to have these guys live today. I read an interview that you gave, I think it was in the Rolling Stone interview, and you talked about cover tunes, and you've done some wonderful things with the covers that you've done, but you said you kind of don't want to do them anymore, and I was curious as to why.
I don't know, the reason and the purpose was pretty much my own agenda, and it had nothing to do with making it in the music business, really. It was just abject hero worship and wanting to step into the skin. And because the songs meant so much to me. And I thought maybe, in this day and age, it might be even maddening to people in the outside world that I did those songs. So part vendetta, part love note.
So you won't do them anymore? What about the next album? Would you do
a
cover?
No covers.
All original stuff. Are you ready to make another album yet?
I'm working on it all the time.
Yeah.
Is it completely impatient and determined? I hope people don't get too attached. No, it's impossible. I hope the media and the wheels that turn don't get too attached to Grace. Because,
You mean
it's out, and I just want to make another one and another one, and we've grown so much already. We completely mashed that album into the ground.
What you're saying is you don't want them to want you to do another album like Grace?
No. I mean, just like, what is it?
Sometimes the company will say, "Oh, that one was so good, do it again."
The company is like the least of my problems, actually, in that respect, because they know that everything's growing, and
right,
the people I deal with are very happy and pleased, as they say in the music biz. They know where I'm coming from. But it's just like in another interview, we've evolved, and we'll keep on evolving. I mean, like radically, mm-hmm. And Grace is just a completely different work unto itself. It's a box where I put things in my past that have made my past live in a box, away.
So you're done with certain things.
Yeah, in a way. But onto new things. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that I'll completely eschew or eschew or get rid of, whatever that word is, get rid of the old things. It's just that I like the present so much.
How do you feel when you listen to those tunes?
We can't.
And how they were recorded.
Sometimes we can't listen to them, and sometimes we're totally in love with them.
Really?
Yeah. I'm proud of Surreal, because that's the first tune that I ever produced, and that's the first one with Michael on it, us as a real quartet.
Mm-hmm.
And me and Michael wrote that in a day.
Is there a defining musical moment in your life?
The next one.
I like that. Can you do another tune?
Okay.
This is Jeff Buckley. He's live in our studios. He's at the ARC in Ann Arbor tonight.
Not too slow. I'll try to make it swing. It's scary. Like, everything is starting to swing and groove better with these acoustic instruments. I don't want to... Folk music balls the daylights out of me, really. This is a song that I wrote while sleeping restlessly next to the phone on my hardwood floor. Lord have mercy on my stupid soul. I actually wrote it on this guitar. See the rain fall upon the funeral.
the shoes fill up with water. Oh,
We're live in the WDET studios with Jeff Buckley. Jeff Buckley on lead vocals and guitar, Mick Grundle on bass guitar, Matt Johnson on drums, and Michael Tai on guitar. And if you like what you've heard, these guys will be at the Ark in Ann Arbor tonight, and they've got a new album out. Jeff Buckley's new album is called Grace.
One, two, three. Lover, you should come over. Lover, you should come over. Don't forget to bring the chords. Woo! Thank you.
This is the new DET house band, the Jeff Buckley band. Thanks for coming by, you guys.
Thanks a lot.
Good luck. Thanks, you guys. This is WDET FM Detroit. We're about 15 minutes away from news time, and here's a little info, and then we'll go back to the music.
And there it is, going back to October of 1994, my interview with Jeff Buckley. Well, he certainly changed the mood after the mood he created with Lover, You Should Have Come Over. To me, one of the most longing, beautiful love songs ever written. We will have this available on WDET's website next week, so I will put it out on my Facebook page so you guys can listen back to it, and you can listen on demand as well. I need to thank once again Mike Conrad, who engineered the session that day and reminded me that I was sitting in the studio with them. So while they were performing, I just stayed where they were that day. And Jason Schusterbauer, who helped facilitate everything that happened that day. It was quite an undertaking with their tour bus there and all the equipment that they brought in. And I will say this, that I'm glad that I played hardball with Columbia Records, or that session never would have happened. And I have one regret, that I didn't go and see that show at the Ark that night, because I thought I'd be able to see him many, many, many more times. Jeff Buckley would have turned 50 years old this past week. I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you so much for listening to the show. We're going to take care of a little business, and I will be talking with Don Dupree of Dupe and the Inside Outlaws right after this here on 101.9 WDET.